First Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 16, because that's where we left off last week. It says this. It goes, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss, high five, handshake, or fist bump. I charge you with the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren, not all churches. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I want to pause here. All right, so Paul's writing here, and last week we started in verse 12. And these are bullet points of what Paul, at the end of the letter, he's saying, hey guys, these are important as well. These are my bullet points. And so we're picking up on verse 15, or 16. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Have you ever asked God, what's your will for my life? Lord, what do you want me to do? What's your will for my life? I pray that many times. What do you want me to do? There's things that is clearly stated in the Bible that he desires us to do. One, worship him. That's part of why we were created, is to worship God. All right, that's the first part of his will. Another part of it. Second part is also to go and be ministers unto him, unto God. And that's part of worship. And as we minister unto God, he also wants us to minister to one another. Well, how? Well, that's what you get to figure out with his help. Because he told Gideon, go and conquer the Midianites. And Gideon goes, I don't want to go. And God goes, well, go in your own strength. In other words, go and I will be with you. You ever tried to do something that didn't work out? You don't know how many projects around the house are kind of rigged. And one time I was supposed to fix the washer because it was making a noise. I came up and I go, it doesn't make a noise anymore. Yeah. But we got to go get a new one. But it stopped making the noise. My wife goes, hey, can you help it stop making the noise? Yep, I sure did. A couple weeks ago, our dryer went out. The belt broke on a Saturday night, and we were headed out of town on Monday morning. And I had laundry in the washer. And it didn't go around and around. And I thank God that there was a belt at Lowe's that fit my dryer. So on Sunday afternoon. So the thing about it is that, our goal, what God wants us to do, his will for our life is one, worship him. Two, Jesus says, go and make disciples. So those are two. And now Paul is also saying, this is also part of God's will for your life. So if you've been wondering, what am I supposed to do? The first thing he says, rejoice always. But I don't like the situation. He didn't say rejoice for the situation. He goes, rejoice always. How can you rejoice when something bad's happening? Knowing that God's with you. Knowing that God's walking with you. And not, he's not just behind you as your rear guard. He's not just in front of you going before you. He's also walking right next to you. It's like we sing that song, oh, he's a shield about me. That's what he is. And so the thing about it, the part of it is that rejoice always. Rejoice means be glad. Be glad in the Lord. Not in the, I mean, you don't have to say, well, I'm being glad that it's snowing out, and you absolutely hate snow. You can be glad that you know somebody that will come and plow you up.
if you have somebody like that. A couple of years ago, I was complaining because it was snowing and I had to go out and shovel. God goes, at least you are able to shovel. Be grateful. Rejoice in all things. Not for all things, but in all things. So even Friday night, I want to say thank you for those who did come out for part of it or all of it. We had about 14 or 15 people that came through that night. And then about 7 of us made it all the way through to about 4 o'clock a.m. It was powerful. So went home and slept for about 4 hours. And I'm like, I got to get back on my schedule. But the thing about it says rejoice. I didn't rejoice that I was tired. I rejoiced that look what God has done. We can rejoice in all things in God because of He's with us. Then it goes, pray without ceasing. Huh? You mean I can't stop from praying? No. I'll explain what it means. Pray without ceasing. He wants us to pray in every situation. Not just wake up in the morning. Okay, I got my prayer time done in the morning. I'm done praying to God. I talked to Him for today. I'm not going to talk to Him anymore. That'd be like if I woke up, talked to my wife for an hour, and then, see you tomorrow morning. One, she's not a morning person, so that wouldn't go well. Two, it would, yeah. And then she'll be like, hey, it's 8 o'clock at night. Are you mad at me? You haven't talked to me all day. No, I talked to you this morning. I'm good. But God is saying, continuously talk to me throughout the day. Going to the store, talk to God. Lord, Friday I was over visiting Lori after I dropped Jaren off, and I had to go to the store to get some lids for our canning. We're almost done canning. We started in July 20th-ish. We're just finishing canning now. So I thank God for an abundance and overflow. So I was there, and I was like, okay, God, I need to get canning lids. And then all of a sudden, He goes, go down this aisle. So I went down this aisle, and all of a sudden, I was praying about something. And lo and behold, it was on clearance. I was like, thank you, Lord. See, as you continually pray to God and ask Him to guide your steps, He's the God that will order your steps. And when you wake up in the morning, according to Job, and we'll look at this, I think, sometime soon, probably on a Wednesday night, where God spoke to Job, who ordered your day? God made this day. The devil, there is no day that the devil has made. Even on Halloween, that's not the devil's day. That's God's day still. He created that. We get to rejoice in it. Because of who God is. He defeated Satan. So we can continuously pray. Okay, God, how do you want us to do this? And so when you wake up, you spend your time with Him. And some of you say, hey, I just wake up just in time to get to work or get things going. Well, pray with Him throughout the day. Take the Bible with you. You have a smartphone. Put the Bible on your smartphone. Listen to it. Take Him with you. Continuously talk to Him. Allow Him to continuously talk to you. Pray without ceasing. Always looking forward to Him. Always looking to Him. Keep the line of communication open with Him. So continuously talk. Pray without ceasing. And then in everything, give thanks. Give thanks to God. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, as Jean passes away, we can thank God for all the cool memories we have with her. Some great memories and some like, Jean, I just want to slap you. Right? I mean, you never wanted to slap somebody?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I mean, with Jean, you might slip because she's so, well, at least small, so you've been fine. But the thing about it, you can thank God for the good that God's doing. It's rejoicing. One, you're like having joy through the situation. The other one, you're thanking God that He's been with you and He's guiding you and directing you. That's His will for your life. His will for your life is to give Him thanks. And continue to communicate with Him because He desires to communicate with you. What if I mess up? Didn't
God not walk in the morning mist or morning daytime with Adam and Eve after they sinned? He showed up in the midst of their disobedience. They chose to eat from that tree. Sin is a choice, by the way. It's not a, oops, I messed up. It's like, I don't care, I'm sinning. You can't, you know when you sin. People used to say, well, yeah, I don't know if I sinned today or not. What? Sin is a choice. And so even when they messed up, even when they chose to sin, God goes, oh, I'm going to go down and visit them and hang out with them still. That's the reason why Jesus was sent to hang out with sinners like us, to make us from sinners to saints. You're no longer a sinner. You're a saint now. And the good thing, your name is not Bernard. Then you'd be a Saint Bernard. But now you're a saint. You're a new creation. You're no longer the old soul. You're no longer the sinner. Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You're saved by grace, and now you're a saint. God looks at you as perfect. You're a saint. How awesome is that? No, the Catholics won't make you into a saint after, I think it was 11 years, unless you're Mother Teresa, and then they move that up quickly. They have to go through all these things. The Catholic Church can't make you a saint. Only God can make you a saint. You ever look at somebody and say, Lord, keep my sainthood. You know, keep me from doing something stupid. But the thing about it, God, that's God's will, is for you to walk out those things. And then he goes, his second bullet point, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. That's the next bullet point. So these go together. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit starts moving and prompting you to do things, do them. Well, I don't feel. That's the American culture telling you, if you don't feel like it, don't do it. No. Well, I understand about feelings. I get it. I have feelings. But the Holy Spirit trumps feelings. Because a lot of times our feelings are birthed from fear and insecurities. I don't feel like knocking on my neighbor's door and sharing a plate of cookies. I trust me. Insecurities to reach my neighbor. I'd rather do this than go on knocking on my neighbor's door. It's just my part of it, my personality. But God, when God tells me to do it, I'm like, oh Lord, I don't want to do it. And when I tell him that, I'm starting to quench the work that he wants to do. See, a lot of times we go, wow, don't quench the Holy Spirit in service. Well, first, don't quench it in your life. Don't deny the things God's doing in your life. The cool thing about it is that Friday night, Denise was starting to get a headache, and then someone was preaching or talking up here, and all of a sudden Gary goes, I want your attention. And he goes, in a good, loving way. He goes, we need to pray for Denise. Next thing you know, it was gone. So thank you, Gary. And so the thing about it, if I told Gary, hey, pipe down over there, he goes, hopefully he would say, no, I got something from God, but I would have quenched what God wanted to do. See, a lot of times we look at things and we're like, I don't know if that's from God. Don't worry about if it's from God at that moment. Let people move, because sometimes it might not be for you. It might be for somebody else. And the thing about it, when we step back and we're like, well, Lord, I don't feel comfortable. Well, maybe that neighbor just need a sugar high from those cookies or something. Maybe they're just having a bad day and they just need a little comfort of chocolate chips. I don't know. But sometimes you have something that somebody else needs. You don't know how many times God goes, hey, go tell that person this. Like Cletus said, well, I walked through the city. Well, there's a gentleman couple months ago, I won't say where he lives, his name is Ronnie,
He's newer to the community. I'm walking because I keep the same path. I walk from my house all the way up to Magnolias Road. I call it Magnolias Road. I have no clue what the name of the road's up. To a dead ends, and I walk down to a dead ends, and I walk, and then I take the first right, and then I'm off by the highway, 014, and I'm all the way down to the school, and then up and around. So it's about 3 to 3.5 miles. Whoa. Unless it's like too icy, and then I'm chicken. Because I don't like broken wrists and things like that. But the thing about it, where I'm walking, and the gentleman, I said hi and talked to him a few minutes before, and all of a sudden I see him limping. I'm like, hey, you okay? He goes, yeah, my knee's bugging me. I started running and started bugging me. I go, and then we exchanged names. His name's Ronnie. And I go, hey, can I pray for him? He goes, sure. So I prayed for him. And then I haven't really seen him since then. I told my daughter I prayed nicely for him. She goes, Dad, your prayers are not, like, scare people. I don't think they scare me. I just believe that God can create a unicorn out of nothing. So the thing about it is that then it was yesterday. When I finally got up and started walking. And there he is out there with his wife and one of his kids. But hey, how are you doing? How's your knee? It's feeling great. So I was looking at him, what? So the thing about it is that if I didn't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I would never gotten to know the guy's name. Now I walk by and I call him out by name. See, the thing about it is that when the prompting of the Holy Spirit, don't quench it. Because once you get used to it, it's a lot more fun. And then it goes, don't despise prophecy. Prophecy is basically a word from God. Don't despise it. Don't treat it with contempt. Don't regard it as nothing. When God speaks, don't despise it, but test it. Isn't that quenching it? No. I know when God is speaking through me, and I can tell you, a lot of times, some of you have heard me say, I don't know if this is God or not. And I go, ask God if it's from him or not. That's when I'm like, okay, we need to make sure this is from God or not. And the thing about it, you test it, like, okay, does this line up with what God's already been speaking? Does this line up to God's word? You test it. There's nothing bad or testing with something somebody said to you. Even when I preach, test it according to God's word. Take it home, read it. Like, Lord, is this what you're really saying? Because I'm not the authority on God's word. God is. I'm just a little messenger saying, okay, Lord, I'm a Gideon, let's go. Lord, I'm John the Baptist. I've been out in the wilderness. Come on, I look funny. Let's go. I got a coat of, you know something? It's interesting that Joshua had a coat of many colors, and people got jealous.
Joseph,
that's who, that, good job. Way to catch it. You've been well trained. Joseph. Yes, you were. Good job. Joseph had a coat of many colors, and people got jealous. John the Baptist had an interesting outfit and interesting eating habits, and people got jealous of him. So no matter what you wear or what you do, if God's working through you, people will be jealous. But I digress. And so the thing about it is that as you get a word, take it to God, test it out, make sure it's from God. Make sure even what I say. Because I still believe that Jeannie and Gary will have a black bug.
I got 4 cars now. Do I need another one?
No, you got to get rid of a couple now.
That's what I tell him.
But I can see him driving around in the bug once again. Because that was Gary's favorite car of all time.
I suppose. And I worked.
That's all good. But I can see him with little highlight pinks and with those little floppy eye things, eyelashes. There you go. And so the thing about it, don't quench what God's doing, the prompting. Don't despise, but test all things. Make sure it's from God. And through that, hold on to what is God, what is good, what is said about it, and let go of what's evil. Let go of the things that are not of God.
See, it says abstain from every form and appearance of evil. So evil is actually a form. You can recognize evil. Breaking and entering is evil. Don't do it. All right? Keying a car or scratching a car is evil. Don't do it. It says, hold fast what's good, but abstain. Stay away from every form. To hold back, keep away from, stay distance away from what God, what the devil's doing, what the darkness. And it says that, you remember the old saying, bad company corrupts? Did you know if you put a rotten apple in a basket, it will rot the rest of the apples in a matter of days? Because it starts sending off this aroma, the enzymes, and doesn't even have to be connected to that apple. It could be a lower one, and they start getting rotten. That's the reason why if you see a rotten apple, take it out of your basket quickly and discard it. Give it to the horse or something. And so the thing about it, and it also says, that stay away from every form of evil. In other words, when Satan comes, either do one or two things. Resist the devil, cling to God, and the devil will flee. Or two, you flee. Just like Joseph. He fled from that wicked lady, Potiphar's wife. Interesting, never names her. Well, I know her. And then, now Paul's wrapping up. He goes, now many of God's peace himself sanctify you completely and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who is also to do it. In other words, God is setting us apart. He completes us. You don't have to sanctify yourself. As you walk closer to God, He sanctifies you. And when He looks at you, He doesn't see you all messed up. He sees you holy. He sees you set apart. He sees you beautiful. He sees you awesome. Because when God created you, He made a masterpiece. One of a kind. Guess what? I'm not the only original. You all are unique. Trust me. We all have our good side. Then we all have our, to stay away from that side. But the thing about it is that God of peace, He gives you peace, will sanctify you completely. Not just parts, but the whole body. Not just the body, but the spirit, the soul. The whole thing. He sanctified everything. And He set you apart. Set you apart. Because He preserved you. We have preserved many cans of tomatoes, cucumbers, I don't know what else we canned.
Beans.
We preserved them. We canned them. We set them apart because at one time, we're going to use them again. Just like God. He has canned you, not like kick you out, but He put you in a jar to preserve you for that moment in time. He's going to open it up. So now you're part of this. Salt is a preservative. And Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. We get to preserve this world from corruption. Because we're going out. We are the light of the world. Go for it. You are set on the hill. Don't hide it. You ever think about that? Hide a light under, like a candle in the bushel. What's going to happen to that bushel? It's going to catch on fire. You put the hiding under a bush. What's going to happen to the bush? It's going to catch up. You ever thought about it? It's like, put it in water. Douse it. Some of us want to douse our fire, but God said, no, lift it off so it can be, or catch that thing on fire. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow on that fire. So not to extinguish it, to make it brighter and hotter. It's just like a bonfire. You ever have a, it's nice and
calm. Now all of a sudden the wind whips up. You're like, yeah.
Well, maybe that's just me. But the bigger the better. But then God makes us complete. All three parts of our life. And then he goes, brethren, pray for us. And then he goes, this is for all. He calls us faithful. And then he goes, greet one another. I think this is interesting. With a holy kiss. We don't practice that here in this church. If you're married, kiss holy all you want. All right?
Your spouse.
Yes, your spouse. Yeah. We'll make sure on that one. But if you want to greet, greet with a handshake or a fist bump or a hug. We're fine with that. But if you're if you're looking for somebody to kiss, first do your spouse only. And if you're not married, we can find a guy or a girl for you to hook up with. Then you can kiss all you want. Okay? Please, we'll start that ministry next week. But in that culture, kissing was a sign of acceptance. And they usually kissed on the cheeks. We were in a service back, oh man, must have been 15 years now. And so, no, more than that, 20 years. About 20 years, we were out in Phoenix at a church, and one of the assistant pastors get up to do the greetings and the things like that. And she goes, all right, turn to one another and greet each other with a holy kiss. I'm like, I don't think so. Besides my wife who was sitting next to me. But the thing about it is that greet one another. Greet one another in the church. Have fun. High five. You know, enjoy each other's company. And then Paul says, let this letter be read to all brothers, to all people. As we read through, as we learn, go back and read it. See what he has for us. See what he has for you. Because I probably missed something along the way that maybe God wants to speak to you about. You know, and then next week we'll start with the Second Thessalonians. And because I believe that as we travel through this, as we go into next year, 2026 is going to be the greatest year of your life. It's going to start, as this year ends, I believe God's got something greater for you personally and for the church. I believe that he's going to reveal things so we can start expanding for what God has called us to do. It's going to be a great season. And not just going to be a season, it's going to be beyond the season. It's going to be a habitat. You know, or a climate. Is that better than a visit? It's going to be a climate of where God can stay. Because I don't want a visitation from God. It's nice to have a visitor. I mean, if my wife just came and visit me, that'd be kind of weird. I mean, right? I mean, I'd be like Ron and Barb having their own place, and they just come and visit one another every once in a while. Hi, 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 hi.
Well, that's what you told him. He could buy the house next door.
Well, maybe that's one. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do some counseling. I'm not a good counselor. No one likes my counseling because I always tell them, what does the Word of God says? Oh, I don't like that. Paul wraps up and says, read it. And a lot of times we know what it says. Just do it. Do what God's Word says. And great things will happen. All right. I think that's it for today. We do appreciate you guys.